Second John, the book of Second John. This message is important to everybody, but especially to the young people, it's important. You know, the Bible tells us in the latter days that we would see a falling away and an apostasy. We would also see false teachers. We would see false prophets. They were seeing it in the apostles' days, but the Bible says that we'll see it even more so in our day. Truth is a valuable thing, to be able to have truth. Here in 2 John, we find a book written, and it appears that it is written to a lady in the church, and I would say probably in the church of Ephesus, just guessing. Some people say where it talks about the elect lady and her children, it's talking about the church and people that get saved in the ministry of the church. But I believe you could apply it that way, but I don't believe that's the way it's written. And if so, it's the only book in the Bible written to a lady. But evidently something was going on in that lady's life. She must have had several children. And either she was a widow, or maybe her husband had started getting involved in some false teaching. And maybe he'd fell out of the church. He may have been one that John had talked about earlier, that they went out from us, but they were never one of us. Whatever it was, or maybe it was somebody else, and she was widow, and someone was trying to move in on her children, and influence her, and give her some false teaching. But anyway, begin reading with me. In this short epistle, we have love mentioned four times, and truth mentioned five times. The Bible says, "The elder unto the lady, elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever." In other words, those of us who have truth, it stays with us forever. In verse 3, "Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." He goes on, he says in verse 4, he said, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." So he was concerned, and evidently he was concerned enough to check in on the children, to see if they were being influenced by whatever this situation was. And he was so pleased to hear that they were still holding on to the truth. Look on down verse 7, he talks about the false teachings. He says that, "For many deceivers are entering into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but we have received a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." Everybody see that? Now the doctrine of Christ is what we preach this morning, that he is God. He is the Son of God. He came virgin born. He came to die for our sins. He lived a sinless life. He died, took upon him the sins of the whole world, buried, resurrected, ascended up to the Father. That's the doctrine of Christ, and he's coming back again. And so therefore, people who reject Christ as being God, stay away from those people. That's why people tell me, they say, "Oh, I hate to be rude when I have all these Jehovah Witnesses and I have these Mormons, different ones knocking on my door and want to come in. I just hate to be rude." Let me let you in on a secret. They got nothing to tell you that's any help to you. They don't believe that Jesus was truly God. They believe that he was a son of God, like we are sons of God, but he was the first one born of God. But that's not what the Bible teaches, as we looked this morning. Look on. The Bible says in verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, what? Where? Neither bid them good Godspeed. In other words, you don't say, I'm sorry. I don't want to discuss it, but God bless you. You don't bid them Godspeed. You say, I don't believe that. I brought them in one time, and when we first moved where we're at, I brought them in. I said, they come and told me who they were. I said, yeah. I said, I just got some questions. Can you answer questions from King James Bible? They said, yeah. Well, after about 15, 20 questions, they didn't answer one of them. They told me they'd send somebody back. I've waited 20 years. They ain't come back yet. There's probably somewhere a big list and a big red X right on that house. But the truth of the matter is, they couldn't answer them without going to some of their writings and some of their teachings. And I said, I'm not interested in your teachings because they're false teachings. And so therefore, the Bible says that we don't bid them Godspeed. He says in verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is what? In other words, you're not helping nobody. If you encourage them, somebody said, well, I just gave him a little money. Don't do that. Don't give them any help at all. Not that you be rude to them. I mean, not that you be hurtful to them. It's not that you punch them out or anything like that. And I was reading where this one guy lived in a place where Jehovah's Witness was. They don't believe in the blood, and they don't believe in certain patriotism and so forth. And they'd been visiting his house, and he thought he'd be prepared. He'd gotten saved, and so he figured out, and he quoted some scriptures, and he memorized some scriptures. And what he's going to do is whenever they open the door, he's going to quote all these scriptures about the blood, and then he's going to say the Pledge of Allegiance before they had a chance to say a word. Well, sure enough, he did. And this woman come to his house, and he opened the door, started quoting all these scriptures on the blood. Then he said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. He looked at her right in the face. He said, now, what do you think about that? She said, well, in 25 years of selling Avon, that's the weirdest reception I ever got in my life. And so evidently she wasn't of the sect. But anyway, notice that the Bible says that we're not to be a partaker of his evil deeds. Now, notice, if you would, a couple things. I want to talk to you a little bit about truth. Look, if you would, keep your finger there and go back a couple of books into the New Testament to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, Peter was talking about the false prophets we're going to have too. And begin reading in chapter 1, verse 19. The Bible says in verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. That means you have one that's dependable. It says, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto the light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn. And the day star arrives in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, this word that we've got here, it didn't just happen. God moved men to write it just the way he wanted it wrote. Verse number 1 of chapter 2, the Bible says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privately should bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring up themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In other words, holding on to the truth, they're not going to like it. And by the way, can I say this? The greatest enemy of the devil is the truth. The Antichrist is called the lie. Jesus was called the truth. He was full of grace and truth. He said, I am the way, the truth. And so therefore, the Antichrist is going to be the lie. People are going to believe a lie. And so the devil hates the truth. Look on. He says in verse 3, he said, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, listen, there's two types of false teachers. There are false teachers that are ignorant. By being ignorant, I mean this. An apostate is someone that knows the truth and has turned away from the truth. An ignorant teacher is someone who is teaching someone else's teachings, and they don't understand how wrong they are. Let me give you an example or two. A teacher teaches facts that someone else has written, or facts as they see it to be facts. Now, even though it may be false facts in many textbooks, and can I say, now listen to me very careful, there's a lot of ignorant teachers in churches. They're teaching literature from people that don't know what they're writing about. They're using versions of Bibles that they don't understand where they came from, and they don't understand the false teachings in many of all of them. And I say this, and a lot of people don't agree with me, but the devil hates the King James Bible because of the truth that it carries. In 1900, from 1600 to 1900, after it was translated in English, all of a sudden, 1900, here comes all these versions attacking it, tearing it up. All these wise people moved in to all these seminaries to try to do away with the teaching and preservation of the King James Bible. But can I say this? A lot of people are ignorant of truth. I know a while back I preached, and Brother Junior there, I was preaching a funeral, and he overheard this one preacher that was, or I was there, and this one preacher, I was telling this other guy, I said, he's one of those that believes the King James. I said, yes, I do. And the reason why he don't is because he's ignorant of it. He's never taken time to study the history. Two things that are different cannot be the same. You can't take one from one manuscript and one from another and it be the same. And so therefore, we have in our churches a lot of ignorant teachings. People get books written by some people that's ignorant, and some people's lost. Some liberals. And they use it, Chris and I sometimes, when we're traveling, we go by a church. We try to go to church on Sunday morning, wherever we're at. And we go by, and sometimes we pick one that we end up getting there, and they're so ignorant. They'll take and they'll read their commentaries out of the book. Sometimes the commentaries can be good. Sometimes they don't have a clue what they're talking about. I can tell by what it is. Whenever it is, Chris kind of sits there and says, oh, she sits there the whole time saying, I hope he don't start. But occasionally I do. And then sometimes I just keep quiet. But my point is this. There's a lot of false teachings of ignorant teachers. Then there's a lot of apostate teachers. The apostate teachers are dangerous. They know the truth, and yet they know what they're teaching is not truth, and yet they're still pushing the lie. The Bible says we're going to see it increase. Romans chapter 1, Paul writes, and he talks about those that are ignorant, are those that are apostates, those that willingly teach things that they know better than teach. And so, therefore, in the day in which we live, and you young people, listen to me a minute, if you go to school and you get a higher education, all these wise people want to make you believe that truth is relative. By that I mean this, it's only truth if you compare it to so-and-so. Well, the way I see it, well, it's truth as far as I see it to be truth. And so since I see it to be truth, it must be truth. That's relative truth. Real truth is absolute. It doesn't change. People believe that truth changes over the period. They think that because of time, because of the way things are, I know sometimes young people, there's a great temptation for you to believe, because there's a lot of teachers out there trying to teach you, that what was truth for your granddads is not truth for you. Not true. Truth never changes.
Amen.
Black is always black. White is always white.
Amen.
Hell is hell. Heaven is heaven.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, we don't teach that anymore. You'd be surprised how many churches never preach on hell anymore. But can I let you in on a secret? The truth of hell is still alive. It hasn't changed. You die without Christ, that's where you'll be. It doesn't change. But in the day in which we're living, there's this great push that there is no absolute authority. But when you have truth, you must have an absolute authority. And so the absolute authority we have is found in the Word of God.
Amen.
Just because it sounds right to you does not make it right. And so therefore, the Word of God is where we find truth. The Bible speaks all kinds of things about truth. That we are to walk in truth, and we are to abide in truth, and we are to protect the truth, therefore, and gird ourselves with truth, and all these things. Now, truth is so important. If you ever lose truth, there is a great consequence of losing truth. The devil wants truth gone. The truth, and we have one absolute truth. Right here.
Amen. Amen.
It's infallible truth.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't believe that God was able to take a guy and have him swallowed by a whale and him be 3 days and three nights in the ocean bottom and come out and be vomited up on the land. Doesn't change the fact.
Right.
And by the way, can I say that Jesus even said, when they said, give us a sign that you're who you say you are. He said, you wicked and adulterous generation, the only sign you'll have is a sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Amen.
Jesus testified there was a Jonah. And he was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. And somebody said, well, how do you know it's a whale? Because Jesus said it was. Now, let me say this. The Word of God is absolute. Doesn't mean that you say, well, I disagree with it, or I don't understand it. It doesn't change the fact that it's absolute truth.
Amen.
You say, well, they've gone away from teaching it. You have to have a final authority. And the Word of God is our final authority.
Amen.
You young people, don't ever discredit the Bible. I was raised before I even understood the Bible. I was raised that we never marked in the Bible. We never tore pages out of the Bible. We never mistreated the Bible. A Bible was something that we held in high regard. Even when I was out in sin, I still had respect for the Bible because I knew the Bible was truth.
Right.
Even before I got saved, I still believed in hell because the Bible said so, and I believe the Bible to be the absolute authority. I believe there was a heaven. I believe Jesus died upon the cross. I believe he was the Son of God.
Amen.
I believe those things in my head, and it wasn't until I got those things in my heart that I become saved. Whenever I come to the point where I wanted to receive Jesus, and the Bible says to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, I become a child of God. But I look to the final authority. And by the way, a final authority means everything is judged according to it. Somebody said, well, our courts is judged. And by the way, can I say this? The liberals say, well, about abortion. Well, that's law. That's settled law. Well, the only reason it's settled law is because it got passed in a liberal court. Now we got a conservative court, and when they pass things, they said, no, it's not law. Listen, that's just because it's a conservative court. They won't have it both ways. But the truth of the matter is, the Supreme Court can never be the final authority and absolute authority on anything because it changes according to the politics of the judges that's on the court. You might not want to hear that, but it's true. When you go to court, justice is not blind. I mean, just look what's going on in Washington. Even with the FBI and other things, as good as some of them are, there's still partiality among a lot of them. And they crucify this one and they let this other one off. And it's because, you know why? Because none of those things are the absolute authority. Now, when a law is on the book, you've got to abide by the law unless it contradicts God's law. But just because they put a law on the book doesn't mean that it's right. And there are some things. Now, for instance, abortion is legal. But in my book, abortion, because of authority of the Word of God, is still murder.
That's right.
Never will I ever vote for somebody that supports abortion.
Amen.
I'm just not going to do that. I don't care who they are and which side of the aisle they're on. Same way, gay rights and all this homosexual marriage and all this just got passed under President Obama. He pushed it through, crammed it down our necks, but it don't make it right. God still calls it abomination, and the truth doesn't change. Somebody said, well, and every now and every time somebody says something, they get crucified if they speak against it. You can't change absolute truth. And absolute truth is a final judgment on everything. And so therefore, even though we might pass a law say it's okay for two men to get married, when they stand before God, it's going to be abomination before God. They're going to be judged according to his authority, not according to what we pass in Supreme Courts here. And so I want you to understand that when we look to truth, we only have one source of authority. And that's the thing that all judgment is rendered out of. And you will be judged. Jesus said, I came not to judge the world, but the words that I have spoken, it shall judge you in the last day. And you better understand his words judge you. Now, let me give you this, and I'll close. Why is truth important? Well, first of all, it's important because that's how you're saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that now you say, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is what brings you to salvation. Without faith, you can't be saved. And without the Word of God, you can't have faith. And by the way, it's not any Word of God, it's the Word of God that you get saved in. You follow me? It's not a word, it's the word. Okay? Now, second of all, sound doctrine depends upon it. Look, if you would, in Titus. Titus chapter 1, real quickly. In Titus chapter 1, in verse number 9, Paul wrote this. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. In other words, not only should you understand that the Word of God is important and truth is important to you to get saved, it's also important to you to be grounded in sound doctrine. You know, I'm about to sneeze. Got a whiff of something. But there's a lot of people, and sometimes these young people in the church, they amaze me. I hear them and they listen to the song and they like this song. We're sitting up there, and even though we didn't go to the concert the other day with the Murray family, the other night we was gone, we listened to the Murray family on the way up there and on the way back. And Caleb was sitting up front at that time, and he was talking about some songs he liked. And the thing I liked about his choices of song, they were all old songs that had great truth to them. In other words, he picked up on some good truth of those songs. And you know, I'm amazed sometimes to find out how much the young people knows. How how much good doctrine that they've been taught. In other words, they've been taught things that they're able to put down gainsayers. They know enough to fight off some of this stuff when they hear it. They know it's not right when they hear it. And then you got to have truth for that. If you don't have truth, then everybody's got opinion. And somebody said opinions are like elbows. Everybody's got two of them or more. And so therefore, what you need to understand is this. Just because you say, well, I see it as truth, don't make it truth. The Word of God does. And therefore, when you go and stand upon something, when we have missionaries come, they say, what would you have me to do, preacher? I said, well, I want you to do three things. I want you to preach. I want you to use a King James Bible. And I want you to preach the doctrines out of the Bible, not your own. I said, if you can do those three things, everything will be fine. And so far, everything's worked out fine. Not only that, but just to have Christian growth requires truth. Look, if you would, in the book of Acts, chapter 20. The book of Acts, chapter number 20. Look, if you would, in verse number 32. The Bible says this. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to what? Build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. In other words, if you want to grow, you got to have the word of God. You young people, you want to grow, you got to have word of God involved in your life. Sometimes over school, they say, why do we have to memorize these verses? Because it helps you grow. It helps you, establish you. Not only that, every morning at school we make a pledge. We pledge to the Bible. Thy word is a what? What is it, Aaron? Can you tell us? Thy word is what? A lamp where? And a light. A light unto our path. If you want guidance, you got to have truth. Truth is what gives you guidance of what to do. You say, I don't understand how to face this. The Bible tells you. You don't understand what to do here. The Bible tells you. Did you know any problems you have, you can find the answer to it in the Bible? It's amazing. It's amazing, the wealth. But now listen to me. You got to have the truth. So that's important. Now, also let me give you this, and I'll close. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter 16. One other thing why you got to have truth. Paul said this in Romans chapter 16, verse number 17. Says, now I beseech you, or I beg you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And what? Truth is what helps you mark false teachers, false prophets. Now, you say, well, preacher, over here, they didn't do this. Listen, you don't judge someone to be a false teacher by what they do or don't do here or there. You judge them by what they're teaching. You follow what I'm saying? And you judge them by the word. And how it measures to the word and the doctrines that they're teaching. And so that's important that you judge those things by the word of God. And it's important for that, okay? So we need the truth. And John wrote here, he said, listen. He said, I'm so glad to hear that your children walk in truth. He said, but you need to understand these false teachers. They're going to try to deceive. Stay away from them. Have no part with them. Avoid them. Don't even invite them into your house. They've got nothing that you need to hear when they start teaching something contrary to the doctrines of Christ. Stay away from it, amen. Let's stand.